The word of God given to us today is Psalm chapter 119, verses 89 to 96. Psalm chapter 119, verses 89 to 96. Allow me to read the words of God. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection, I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Amen. There are people who carefully observe people's needs, requests, and lives, and see what others are unable to see. People who are able to see what others cannot see often lead the world. But seeing what others cannot see is not always good. What you see is important. You should be able to see what you must see. What are you seeing nowadays in the world? Aren't there so many events happening around the world? When you come across events and accidents through TV, newspaper, or the internet, and are able to see the essence, not the circumstance, and also what is beyond the reality, then you'll be able to live a wise and joyful life on earth. What do you see when you look up at the sky? We can see bluish light and clouds, but what else abundantly fills up the sky other than the bluish light and clouds? In the atmosphere, there are oxygen, other gases, sunlight, and other electromagnetic waves. But there's no clear reason why we need to see them with our naked eyes. When we look up at the sky, if you're able to see something of eternal value that fills up the sky, as to the bluish light and clouds, then those eyes are blessed. I hope we all have such spiritual eyes. The poet of Psalm 119 possessed that type of eyes. He saw the sky and saw the eternal word of God. Let's look at verse 89. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Where is the heavens that the poet speaks of? The heavens that the poet mentions is no different from the heavens we see today. It is the heavens that God created in the beginning. The heavens created in the beginning is the heavens that the poet saw, and also the one that we are seeing today. The poet saw that something stands firm in the heavens. It was the word of the Lord. How could the word of the Lord stand firm in the heavens? What type of place is the heavens? The heavens include all the space beyond the atmosphere. the space beyond the solar system is also the heavens. The poet also saw the sun, the moon, and the stars in the heavens. So he knew of the infinite nature of the heavens. We are living under the heavens. Even if we are exploring the space by flying into the sky, the heavens are not the main space for inhabitation. So the heavens are considered to be transcendent. The poet says the word of the Lord stands firm in the heavens. How could the poet say that the word of the Lord stands firm in the heavens? He did so because he saw the heavens through the eyes of faith. Because he believed that God, as Spirit, is in the heavens and that God speaks to people through the Word, he believed that, of course, the Word of the Lord also stands firm where God is present. Through eyes of faith, he saw the word of the Lord that has been made firm in the heavens. The poet saw what he must see. God used words to create the world. How did the poet know that? God, through Moses and prophets and people he chose, told us that he created the heavens and earth. The poet, and we know who God is, through his words. If God did not speak to us, and the records of his words are not available to us this day, how could we believe in the Word of God? Then, why did the poet confess that the Word of the Lord stands firm in the heavens? And not say that the word is eternally recorded in the book. The word of God is eternal, but the word of the Lord in a book can be easy to lose. That has been proven historically. There's not a single original version of the Bible, and we only have copies. We know that the word of God is not lost, even if we do not have the original. The poet knew that the word of God is eternal as God is eternal. God is not God of the past written in the Bible. Rather, he is God of the present who speaks to us in the present. So, the word of God has both eternity and nowness. The word of God spoken to Moses, prophets, and the chosen people were recorded by the Holy Spirit, but the word of God stands firm in the heavens as confessed by the poet. Consequently, the word of God is not the word of the present, but of the past, but of the present. Thus, we are able to see and hear what God is saying to us today. Moreover, we also believe that God exists in the heavens. Jesus also taught us in the prayer to call upon God as the Heavenly Father. The heavens, where God is, are finite and eternal. But such heavens are not just referring to a place afar. The atmosphere that we breathe is also the heavens. There is no place where God is not present. God is in all aspects of our lives, and the Word of God applies to all parts of our lives. Thus, God accepts our worship and rules over us in heavens and all parts of our lives. How does God reign over us? Verse 9d tells us how. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. God reigns over people through the word. Faithfulness refers to loyalty to work or responsibility. Faithfulness of God is the reign over the world through his word. A world ruled over by people is incomplete because people are not as faithful as God is. If people make rules and regulations and implement them, then they are not consistent and sometimes irregular due to feelings and could be unfair. But God is unaffected by feelings like humans are and reigns according to what he told us. That is faithfulness. Faithfulness of God can be found in other parts of Psalm 119. God loves the poet, but he did not treat him blindly. Sometimes he even tortured the poet. In verse 75, the poet confesses, "I know, Lord, that your laws are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me." God allowed affliction to the poet because of his faithfulness. Because God is faithful, when we have done a wrong, he afflicts us. Even though at times God afflicts us, he also helps us with love. Verse 86 says, "All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for I am being persecuted without cause." Trust in trustworthy comes from the Hebrew word emunah, which is the same word of faithfulness. Because God is faithful, he helps us when we are persecuted without cause. Consequently, trustworthiness of God indicates his governance through love and justice. The fact that the word of God stands firm in the heavens means that because God is faithful, he will rule over us and our world. Such reign over us continues forever through all generations. Through all generations in verse 90, from your faithfulness continues through all generations, means one generation to another generation, referring to the time since God created Adam to the time of Adam's descendants. God faithfully governs people according to his word through all generations. Let's look at entire verse 90. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth and it endures. God created the earth through his word and gave it to humans. As long as humans exist, land will not be gone. Such land continues to exist to this day and coexists with us. Is it only the earth? It is the same for the heavens and all creation. What will be the reason behind why the new beginning existed since creation? The reason is explained in verse 91. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. The reason why the heavens exist up to this day, according to the laws of God, is because when God created the world, he created it according to the principles of earth through his word. The sun maintains its temperature and emits light. Earth rotates around the sun. The moon and stars are operating according to the principles of God. Everything on earth moves according to the principles spoken by God. From the beginning until now and forever, God reigns over his creation through the word. God created principles, but he is willing to break them if needed. When we witness that, it is called a miracle. When God blesses Jacob, he broke the principle of dominance and allowed the recessive sheep that have thoughts given by his uncle Laban among flawless white sheep to produce abundant offspring as a blessing. God also rescued Israelites who were fleeing from Egypt by splitting the Red Sea. During the time of Hezekiah, he moved the shadow cast by the sun by 10 steps as the sign of salvation. Through his words, God manages his creation, nature, as he would do with his servant. God can start a disease and also stop them in this world. God can calm down the seas, turn water into wine, and give life to the dead. Such things happen because things of the world are subject to God. Animals and plants are not the only ones under the control of God. Although inanimate objects cannot move according to our reasoning, God can also make them obey as servants would. In the wilderness, there were columns of fire and clouds, so it is not impossible for stones to yield. Earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, elements smaller than viruses obey the word of God as servants do. The poet observed it through the eyes of faith. The poet saw with eyes of faith that the word of God stands internally firm in the heavens. And he saw faithfulness of God who rules over the world, so he knew that threats and suffering on earth cannot perish him. So he enjoys the nourishment of the word, realizes the life in the word, and prays for the salvation of God. And he confesses that he can concentrate in the word in all circumstances. Following verses are his confessions related to that. Let's look at verse 92. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. The poet was able to overcome his suffering through the delight in the word that stands firm in the heavens. If the word was not his delight, he would have given up amidst the suffering and give up his life and live a fantastic, fatalistic life waiting for doom. There are many people who are suffering nowadays. In affliction, one can survive or perish, depending on whether one delights in the word of God as he reflects on the word of God or not. The delight in the word allows us to avoid affliction. Affliction is the antithesis of eternity. One who abides in the eternal word of God never perishes. The suffering on this earth is temporary. So impermanent suffering cannot compete with eternal word. It is the grace of God that we can be delighted amidst sufferings. So the poet tried hard to not forget the word of God. Let's look at verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. How could the poet, as a finite being, say that he will never forget the word? He did so because he believed that he would exist eternally. The word of God is eternal, and if one abides in the eternal word, then he would also be eternal. Consequently, he could confess that the word preserved my life. Them refers to God's precepts. The word of God allows the poet to live. The poet did not believe that God allows us to live for a moment or the time on earth, but for eternity. The word of God gives eternal life to us. Jesus used the words of the prophet Isaiah in the temple in Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Such eternal word of the Lord is spoken in the present tense to us today. The gospel, the word of God, grants salvation and eternal life to those who are poor, imprisoned, blind, and oppressed. Those who are listening to the word of God right now and abide in it receive eternal life. In chapter 5 of the Gospel of Acts, the disciples of the early church were imprisoned for delivering the gospel. When the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail, he said to the disciples, "Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life." The angel of the Lord did not say, "Tell people about the word," but the word of life. The word of God is the eternal word that gives life to people. It does not save lives just once, but grants eternal life. Please hold on to the word of God that stands firm in the heavens for eternity. Those who are steadfast to the word of God also gain life. Disciple John testifies that the word of God was present from the beginning. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." The word of life has been standing firm from the beginning until now in the heavens where the eternal God is present. We can see this word of life and also touch it with our hands. The word of life is not far from us. It is always next to us. Please reach out and hold on to the word of life. Then, omnipotent God, God of Spirit, the word of life, will hold on to our hands. Why would he do so? Because we are his. Let's look at verse 94. "Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts." We're not just God's possessions, but we are united with the Word as his body. So isn't it natural that we pray to the Lord, who is united to us, to save us? When we are stuck, we should not look for the worldly survival tactics, but seek the word of God. While there are threats from the wicked to those who seek the word of God. Let's skip verse 95. "The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes." The wicked are waiting to destroy us at all times. As the poet has confessed repeatedly in other stanza, we should not deal with the evil ourselves, but think about the word of God. To ponder means to contemplate. When the wicked are waiting to destroy us, we should not ponder also the word, but only the word. The poet did not seek other ways and consider only the word of God because he knew that God punishes the wicked based on the evidence of God. The evil cannot exist eternally. Would one who abides in the word of eternal life need to defame his body and mind by responding to the wicked, those who do not exist eternally? The poet decides to ponder only the word of God because he has realized the most important lesson in his life. Let's look at verse 96. "To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless." Verse 96 is the ultimate confession about the eternity, transcendence, and salvation of the word confessed in the beginning of today's scripture. The poet saw what others could not see. He saw what you need to see, something of value. The poet saw what everything in this world. The poet saw that everything in this world, it is finite, will end, and has a limit. It looks complete, but it is not. Think about products of advanced technology. The jet engine is made into a product after many testing. Many rounds of testing. It looks complete in the beginning, but after years pass by, some failure occurs. It is the same for cars made with the latest technology. With you, a problem occurs and a recall is made. It is the same for any technological product. It cannot be maintained without repair and monitoring. They seem complete, but all have an ending and limits. But the word of God is eternal and permanent. It is complete. There is no failure, no recall, and no announcement for correction. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 testifies, "The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of God, our God, endures forever." Not just the grass and flowers, but all living things have an ending. In Luke chapter 21, verse 33, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Even if heaven and earth will pass away, the word of God will never pass away. Because God, who speaks to us, cannot pass away. The word is eternal. The word is with us eternally, so we will not perish in suffering. The word is with us eternally, so we can never forget the word. The word is with us eternally, so we can ponder the word. How long can we live on this earth? How long can we live enjoying what we own on this earth? Everything we own has an ending and will perish. While we need our eyes to see that even if all complete things have an ending, the word of God has no end and stands firm in the heavens. With such eyes, we can see the eternity of the word, which allows us to live. And may you become channels that allow others who are unable to see what is valuable to now see the words of God, the words of life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for allowing the word to stand firm in the heavens and all parts of life. On the second Sunday of Lent, during which we reflect upon the suffering of the Lord, may we not forget the suffering that Jesus endured by obeying the word of God. By doing so, as we live in the current suffering, may we not forget the word of God and ponder on it so that we do not perish and live by grace. Give us eyes to see that even if all complete things of the world have an ending, the word of God stands firm in the heavens and all parts of our lives. May we not forget that faithful God reigns over us and the world, so that we do not follow the path of the wicked and despise evil, but do not pay back ourselves to the wicked. May we only think about the word. By doing so, may we confess the faithfulness of God through our lives. As the word of God stands firm in the heavens, may we stand firm in the word, so that we can be channels to pass on the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.